Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. Between now and November 6th, WUWM and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel are trying to learn what you want to know about the upcoming midterm election. It's a series called The Informed Voter, and every other Wednesday we're sitting down to answer some of your questions.
Today we're exploring what it actually takes to become a registered voter and cast a ballot. I'm joined in the studio by Journal Sentinel reporter Mary Spacuzza, and on the phone from Madison by Reed Magny, the public information officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Welcome to you both.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Mary, before we get to the questions that our listeners and readers have asked, you've covered politics for a while. Do you hear confusion among voters on a routine basis?
I do. I think anytime voting laws change, there's some confusion over it and people have questions. And I actually remember calling Reed once after some confusion at a polling place when I moved from Madison to Milwaukee. And I was being told by a worker that I would have had to be at my house for, I think, 90 days and that they needed to see, like, banking statements. And I was trying to, you know, kind of cooperate, but at the same time thinking this is just not what the law says. But I think that as laws are in effect for longer, people learn more about them. And certainly there's been a lot of voter education and voter outreach from state and local officials. But I do think that anytime there's a change, there are questions.
Reed, what kind of training do poll workers have to undergo? Is it standardized from community to community?
Yes, it is. So the municipal clerks are responsible for hiring and training the poll workers. We also have, at a polling place, there is what's known as the chief inspector, and then there are the regular election inspectors. And the chief inspectors have to take a specified training course that we provide and then take ongoing training. And then it's the chief inspectors and the clerks who train their poll workers. And so there is some standard training material. I will say, though, that the training can vary from place to place. We just don't, at the state, we've got about 30 people, and there are probably 30,000 poll workers on a big election, like coming up in November. So we can't train them all. We provide, you know, training materials, but so a lot of it is left up to the clerks to do.
Well, and presumably the kinds of questions that one poll worker might get might be completely different from the kinds of questions or issues that another poll worker might have to deal with.
Yes, that's true. I mean, in different parts of the state, you might get different situations. More urban areas might be more likely to deal with people who are, for example, dealing with homelessness and the need to, proving your residence when you're homeless is something that can be done. But people in some rural areas, just partly because of the lower volume of voters they see, may not see that nearly as often. So there are some of those sorts of things that just come to mind immediately.
So we have this big midterm election coming up here in just a few weeks at this point, about a month. Are there any changes in voting laws that have taken place since the last time people went to the polls?
There's no changes in the voting laws themselves. I will say one thing that the Elections Commission just did on September 25th was they expanded the types of documents you can use to prove your residence. Previously, we had said, you needed a bank statement, and that was fairly limited to just a checking account statement, a savings account thing that showed a balance and had an account number on it. The commission has expanded that to include things like mortgage documents, home equity line of credit type statements from a bank, and also now credit card statements. Previously, a credit card statement wasn't an acceptable proof of residence, but the commission voted unanimously to say, yeah, that makes sense to do.
And so that seems to lead perfectly into the first question we got from a listener.
Hi, this is Jan from Mequon. My question is, what can people who want to vote but have no ID do in such a short time before the November election?
Well, if you don't have an ID, you should get yourself to the Wisconsin Division of Motor Vehicles. They will help you to get a state-issued photo ID. If you don't have all of the documentation that you need to get that, you know, that plastic card, they will issue you a temporary, what's known as the IDPP. It's the ID petition process. And so basically, if you don't have a birth certificate, if you don't have some other documents, just bring what you have with you to the DMV. Tell them that you need a free state ID for voting and that you don't have all of the paperwork, but and basically give them what you have. They will scan it and they will send it off to a special unit in DMV. Those folks will, for example, if you were born in Wisconsin, they will contact the Wisconsin Vital Records Office to verify a birth certificate. If you were born in another state, they will contact another state to verify your birth. They will, do other things to help you establish that. But you'll get a, in the mail, you will get a printout of a, it's a, you know, an 8.5 by 11 sheet on the security paper. It's got, it'll have your picture on it, and it's good for voting for, I believe, 6 months. So so they will do that for you, right away. So if for some reason you don't have a photo ID in order to vote, they can get you one that way.
And how long before the election can people do that?
I would say do it now. if for some reason you get to the polling place on election day and that you find that you don't have the ID that you need, first you can vote a provisional ballot at the polling place. Then you can go to the DMV. They will take your information, take your picture, and then they will mail you overnight your ID, which you can take to your clerk's office by Friday at 4 o'clock, and you can show that to them then, and then your ballot will be counted.
Okay, so let's move now to another question we got from a listener.
My name is Gary Shea. I live in the village of Bayside. Here's my question about the election process. Could you compare the absentee ballot voting processes being followed in the city of Milwaukee and its suburbs?
I don't know any reason why it should be different. I know that the process for counting absentee ballots is different. In the city of Milwaukee, they have what's known as central count absentee, where all of the absentee ballots are sent to a central location where they're opened and run through high-speed scanners. In some of the suburbs, it's more likely that the absentee ballots are being sent to the polling place, where the poll workers open them throughout the day and then, you know, feed them through the machines along with, you know, all the people who are there to vote that day. But getting an absentee ballot in and of itself shouldn't be any different. You know, if you want to vote absentee, you can go to our website, which is myvote.wi.gov. And if you're a registered voter, you can request your absentee ballot right on the website. Then that website sends a message to your clerk, and the clerk will send you out an absentee ballot.
And the city of Milwaukee has actually been really trying to expand its early voting options. I think they're concerned about people having to work on election day or just getting busy and forgetting and really wanting to give people the opportunity to say, like, go vote today. And so early voting started over a week ago. There are several locations open around the city of Milwaukee, and I know more will be opening in mid-October, and they're really encouraging people, city residents, to just get out and vote. Do it now. Don't wait.
Well, and I wonder if I don't know about in Gary's case, but I wonder if people are conflating early voting with absentee voting and what the subtle differences are here.
Right. Well, I mean, it's essentially the same thing in Wisconsin. You are either voting in-person absentee in the clerk's office or in places like Madison and Milwaukee at some sort of satellite voting locations, or you are voting absentee at home. Wisconsin doesn't have what's known as true early voting. In some other states, when you vote early, you mark your ballot, and then you actually put your ballot right into the machine, and it's tabulated then. In Wisconsin, when you vote absentee, whether it's at home or, again, at the clerk's office or someplace else, your ballot goes into an envelope, gets sealed, and doesn't get opened until election day.
The next question comes to us. I think this is Marilka of Wauwatosa, who wants to know, what are the offices up for election? She also wants to know what each of these positions does. I don't know that we're going to be able to get to every single position on the ballot, but can you kind of run down who's represented in a midterm election like this one?
Sure. So on the ballot this year are governor, lieutenant governor, and they are obviously the chief executive and the backup quarterback, shall we say, for the state. Then we have the attorney general, who's the state's chief law enforcement officer and who represents the state in litigation. We have the secretary of state's office. The secretary of state has some limited powers. In terms of the state seal and serving on the board of public lands. We have a state treasurer. The state treasurer's office in recent years has also been somewhat reduced in its power. And then the other big statewide office is U.S. Senator. And, of course, that's the person who goes and serves in the U.S. Senate for Wisconsin. We also have members of Congress. Wisconsin has eight U.S. representatives, and they're up every 2 years. And then we also have state senators in the odd-numbered districts and representative to the assembly. That's all 99 districts. And then in each county, the offices of sheriff and the clerk of circuit court and coroner, where there's a coroner, are all being elected, too.
And also, various ballot issues are on the ballot in municipalities where they've been where they have gotten to that point in the process.
Correct. Or there are also some countywide or school referendums as well. And if you want to know what referendums are on your ballot, you can go to our MyVote website. That's myvote.wi.gov. And when you put in your address, the system will show you exactly what your ballot's going to look like, and it'll also have those ballot questions.
Great. Mary, do you want to ask the next question?
Sure. And this one, Reed, if you can chime in on this one, that would be great. My son is transgender and recently legally changed his name. He has not yet changed his gender marker or gone to the Social Security Administration to request a new card. He is registered to vote under his birth name as a female. How do we get him re-registered during this unique transition?
I guess the question would be, does he have a driver license with his current name on it? The gender doesn't matter. I mean, when you go to the polling place and present your ID, they're looking at just a couple things. First, does the name match or conform to the name on the poll list? So if this person changed their name from Susan to Stephen, that'll be a case where you need to re-register. If you've legally changed your name, whether it's due to marriage or for some other reason, you need to re-register to vote. So that's something they need to do. I guess not knowing enough about the individual situation, I would hope that this person would give us a call, and we'd certainly be happy to help. I think there are ways to make sure that he is now able to vote.
So this is a question that is somewhat similar to a previous question, but maybe a little bit different. Diane of Milwaukee wants to know, can you register to vote on the day of the election? How long will it take, and what documents do you need?
Sure. So absolutely, you can register to vote on election day. Wisconsin is one of a few states that allow election day registration, and it's really beneficial to our voters. You can register if you're new to the state, if you have changed your name, or if you have moved. You can also re-register and update your information. So, you know, what you need to do to register is on election day, is you need to have what's known as a proof of residence document, and that basically proves where you live. And it can be a bank statement, it can be a, if the address on your driver license or state ID card is current, that works. If you have a paycheck with your address on it, that works too. A residential lease works, a property tax bill. really almost any sort of correspondence from a government unit. So, for example, say you have a letter from your child's school district to you that's got your name and address on it. Something like that would work because a school is a unit of government. So, but you need some sort of proof of residence document, and you need to have lived at your residence for at least 10 days. The proof of residence document doesn't necessarily have to prove that you have been there 10 days, but it needs to show your current address. And then when you get to the polling place, you will fill out a form providing your name, your driver license number if you have one. If you don't, you can use the last four digits of your Social Security number, and just some information about where you live, and you should be good to go. Depending upon how many other people are looking to register that day also, there could be a line. That's why we suggest that you go to our My Vote Wisconsin website. That's myvote.wi.gov, and you can register there. 20 days before the election, things switch and you can't register immediately. What you need to do is print out the form that's on the website, and you can actually fill out that form on the website, then print it, and bring that printed form with you to the polling place, and that will speed things along.
And I know Milwaukee libraries opened those voter kiosks where people can just go to the library and a librarian can actually help walk them through the process. I think that links directly to your site.
Yes.
But it does seem like a very easy way for people who want to register who might have some questions to go in and get some help if they need it.
Yeah, that's a great service. Libraries across the state, you know, they may not necessarily have the kiosks that Milwaukee's libraries have, but they all have computers and they all have librarians there who, if you're a little bit lost, can help you figure out what you need to do.
And in the short run, can you vote provisionally and then have these conversations?
Well, so a provisional ballot is for people who do not have an acceptable photo ID. So if this is a situation where you are having a problem registering, provisional ballot is not available for that. So you would need to, that's something that you would need to get resolved.
And there are a lot of partisan observers at the polls and probably will be this November. So I think if voters experience any difficulties with somebody who's just supposed to be observing, if anybody's, giving them a hard time or being obstructionist, I would think they could also talk to a poll worker or the head of the polling place.
Right. Yeah, the observers at polling places, some of them are nonpartisan observers. Some are, you know, from either of the major parties. You can certainly, if there's an observer there who you think can help you, you can ask. The observers themselves aren't allowed to, you know, reach out to you, but you can reach out to them.
Very good. Well, this has been terrific information. Reed Magny, Mary Spacusa, thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Reed. Thank you.
Reed Magny is the Public Information Officer for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Mary Spacusa is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can learn how to submit questions for our Informed Voter series at wuwm.com.